At the tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere
CBS
on the
News
Civic
Special
Media
Report.
App.
There's a manhunt underway in southern Maine right now for a person of interest deemed armed and dangerous after a mass shooting last night at two locations just miles apart. CBS's Bradley Blackburn is in Lewiston.
Right now, CBS News is reporting that at least 16 people have been killed, but officials have warned that that number could easily rise based on what has happened in the bowling alley and at the restaurant.
Bowlers say there were children at Spare Time Recreation taking part in a kids' league. Police have issued a shelter-in-place advisory as the search continues for 40-year-old Robert Card.
He's said to be an Army Reservist, a firearms trainer, in fact, who had a history of some mental illness. He was institutionalized over the summer and had self-reported some mental issues just recently.
Lisbon Police Chief Ryan McGee.
We're all determined. That's determined to locate the suspect.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin-Platteville officials say staffing cuts will save the campus about $9 million. UWP announced yesterday it's cutting its workforce by 111. 60 people will be let go or not have their contracts renewed. 32 people are taking early retirements, and 31 open positions will be eliminated. Oshkosh, Green Bay, and Parkside are also laying people off. Richland Center, Fond du Lac, and West Bend are closing. Wisconsin wildlife officials have approved a new wolf management plan for the state. It aims to keep the wolf population at around 1,000 with room for flexibility in certain places. Farmers, hunters, and Republican state lawmakers want a more specific number. They say wolves are killing too much livestock and too many deer. Lack of a specific population number likely means there won't be another wolf hunt soon. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bipartisan bill would mandate faster processing of sexual assault kits. Under the proposed bill, law enforcement would be required to start processing the kits within 5 business days and complete their analysis within 60 days. There is no current required time frame for the processing and analysis of the kits. The bill would expand upon a 2021 bill that required healthcare professionals to notify law enforcement within 24 hours if a patient chooses to report it or save the kit for 10 years if they don't. The universities of Wisconsin have begun implementing their direct admissions programs for Wisconsin students. According to a Badger Herald report, the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay was the first school to send out acceptance letters for the fall 2024 semester to upcoming graduates of the Green Bay Area Public School District. The universities hope that implementing direct admissions will help maintain the enrollment growth they've seen over the last year. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Packers getting ready for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Vikings Sunday at noon, but they'll be missing some key players. Safety Darnell Savage placed on IR with a calf injury. Eric Stokes back on injured reserve after pulling a hamstring Sunday in Denver. It was his first game back in nearly a year.
Man, just, I can't believe it. Like, I don't worry 11 and a half months just to get back to where I was at. I can't believe any of this. I just have no words.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tonight for the season opener. James Harden finally showed up to practice in Philly, but will not be playing in the game in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Giannis celebrates his 11th season with the Bucks and was asked what it all means.
The Milwaukee Bucks organization, they've been there with me since the beginning. They changed my life. They changed my family life. My kids were born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, my mom is here enjoying her life. My dad spent a couple years here before he passed away. For that, I can't turn my back.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers and thunder showers today. Our high right around 62 this afternoon. Scattered rain tonight, 45. We can get a quarter to a half inch of rain by the time it all winds down late tonight. Tomorrow, a few sprinkles in the morning, gradual clearing, becoming colder with temps in the 30s by afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap, K.
Very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by attorney Mark Thompson of Gendrich Thompson and Wax. I'm also joined by attorney Craig Mastantuno of Mastantuno Coffee and Thomas, and my very special guest is Miss Brenda Wesley, the executive director of Staying on Track Inc. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789 as we talk about her son's story and her story, but all the other aspects of mental health and what you can do and what your rights are. And that's the main reason that the two attorneys are here, because you do have rights, and mental illness does not, as attorney Thompson has talked about, does not take away your rights. Attorney Thompson, do you want to talk a little bit about that before we go to Brenda Wesley?
It's really, really important, I think, for all of us to be aware of that when people are put in our jails and prisons, we take away their ability to ask and seek medical care. And so they have to rely on the system in place. But that system must provide them with constitutional minimum care. Okay, I mean, you know, because when you're being held, as you know, or Omar in this case, he was just transitioning to be released to the community free and not guilty, and then to be denied that medication. Everybody needs to be aware of it all over the state. Call your county execs. You make sure that people in facilities are being provided care. And this holds on the statewide basis in our prisons. I mean, folks, we have a crisis in our prisons right now that's not being paid attention to. People understaffing. We have a crisis and it's going to blow up.
Right.
And everybody needs to get on top of it. And I tell you what, everybody in these facilities that suffer from mental illness, they will be the first to really, really suffer. And we can't let that happen.
That's very well said and timely, without question.
I just want to talk about the not guilty part, because I think it's important for your listeners to understand. We're talking about Brenda's son, Omar, who is not guilty of the crimes that he was accused of that led to his being in jail in the first place. So I talked earlier about finding Omar in Chicago. And the reason he was in Chicago is because in an acute state of mental illness symptomology, he had walked into a bank in Milwaukee. So I'm coming back to Milwaukee for a moment, and passed a note to a teller that essentially gently persuaded the teller. And I mean gently because I know I'm a lawyer, but I'm not even using that term liberally. It said, give me the money, please. And the teller gave him some money and he walked out of the bank. And he was able to leave Milwaukee and ended up within a week in Chicago and did the same thing at a Chase Bank right by Daly Center in Chicago. And that teller basically ignored him and, you know, either laughed him off or waved him off. And he walked out of the bank and was taken into custody within days. And the reason he was caught is because the security guard at the bank noticed him walking on the same block as the bank where he had walked in 2 days earlier, with wearing the same clothes on, right? And so he was clearly in an acute state of homelessness and mental illness. And so they arrested him and put him in a federal lockup in Chicago. And we were able to take that attempted bank robbery prosecution in federal court, because it's a bank robbery, involves a federal institution, and get, after many months of Omar clearly not being competent, so not even meeting a basic mental health level of being able to understand the legal proceedings, we were able, long story short, to get that case dismissed in favor of a prosecution in federal court in Milwaukee for the bank situation that occurred in Milwaukee. So the federal government said, we'll give up this one case, move him closer to home. He's clearly not doing well. By this time, he was being sent to federal treatment facilities to try to restore him to competency, and that wasn't working. So we were able to convince the federal government to drop their case in favor of a state court prosecution, Milwaukee District Attorney's Office filing charges for bank robbery for the same Milwaukee incident. The Chicago incident's gone now. And he's being held in various facilities now, transitioning from federal to state. And once we got him into the state system, frankly, the state criminal justice system's got more resources for mental health cases. Places like Mendota Mental Health Institute here in Wisconsin, that he was sent to Mendota Mental Health Institute when the state court proceedings were begun, because I challenged competency and said, he can't understand what's going on. He can't assist me in his own defense. And constitutionally, you can't prosecute somebody in that situation. He went to Mendota, stayed for several months, and that's where clozapine, the drug that Mark mentioned earlier, was initiated as kind of a last-ditch effort, Brenda, as I recall. There was family consultations.
Absolutely, yes.
And ended up being a real game changer and restoring him to competency. So Omar came back to the world at that point.
So Brenda, you could have, after the award and winning this case, you could have just kind of said c'est la vie and gone in away from all of this. Why have you persisted in wanting to continue a fight?
Because it's needed, because I truly do feel that people that live with a mental health disorder and addiction is that they don't have a voice, and that society looks down upon them as though they're the scum of the earth, right?
Yes.
And so it's people like yourself and me to be out there. I wrote a play, and the opening of the play is that how do we open an entire community to the hidden issues of mental health and addiction is that we talk about it, we start a conversation, and we tell the stories. And stories are important in order to engage everyone in regards to this epidemic of mental illness and addiction. And so to stay in the trenches is to be that voice, because the interesting thing is that with Omar doing all of this is that I sat on the Milwaukee Mental Health Task Force. I've sat on various committees. I was on the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board. I was even at the jail at the time that Armour was there with committees talking about what is needed to make sure that people that's incarcerated get their medications and was told that they were, this is what they were doing. But I had advocates around the table with me and saying that we are getting so many calls that people are coming out of these facilities and they're not well. And family members were calling me saying that my loved one was taken into custody. They were on medication. They're not getting the medication. They come out of custody. They're sicker than what they were before they went in. And so when we talk about hospitalization and commitment in that, is that we don't want to take away people's rights, but their rights are taken away when we take them into custody and arrest them for minor infractions and maybe some major infractions, like with my son, you know, walking into the bank with a note. And I always taught him to be polite, but even in psychosis, he was like, please and thank you. So we have to understand that when the jails and prisons should not be the front door to treatment, treatment should be in a hospital setting and with community resources as well. And when I was with NAMI, as I mentioned, I facilitated hundreds of CIT training with police officers in regards, and we traveled throughout the state of Wisconsin in the prisons to train correctional officers in regards how to understand and deal with people that are living with a mental health disorder. But what I tell police officers is that the recidivism rate is so high, but when you take someone and you incarcerate them and you think that you're not going to see them anymore, you're going to see them again because we're not giving them what they need when they're incarcerated. Because I believe that it's deliberate indifference. I believe that there is good people out there, but I truly believe that there are people that really don't understand and don't care. And this is part of my job and this is what I do. But we cannot continue to injure people that live with these illnesses. We cannot continue to do that. So that's why I've not walked away. And I started my own nonprofit called Staying on Track.
So your son's situation occurred basically in Milwaukee. And so it's not like there aren't similar situations in Richland Center or Amory or Oshkosh or Green Bay or Hayward or Racine
all over.
Across or Claire. Yeah. This is an issue that impacts everybody. It doesn't, mental illness doesn't matter whether your parents have tens of millions of dollars or no money.
Earl, it happens all across the state. People suffer from mental health issues, right? Mental unwellness, and then ultimately sometimes mental illness.
Right.
And sometimes that interacts with their decision-making such that they either commit criminal conduct or are accused of it. And many, in Omar's case, ultimately, once he was restored to competency, he was found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect, meaning the law, after evaluating him and after our litigation in court in the criminal case, deemed him to be not guilty because he was not responsible for his actions at the time that he walked into that bank. He couldn't tell right from wrong.
So Attorney Thompson, and I'm going to ask you to respond after the break, but in Omar's case and in Brenda's case, they were fortunate and to be able to have been represented by you guys. But there are so many people who don't have anybody to represent them, and they fall prey to a system that is not, if there's not somebody to fight back for them, then they wind up paying the ultimate price and their mental illness does not even come into play. Got to go to a break. Attorney Thompson, we'll have you respond to that on the other side. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association. If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Darrell Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number if you're just joining us. I am joined by, again, Attorney Craig Mastantuono, and he is with Mastantuono Coffee and Thomas. I'm joined by Executive Director Brenda Wesley of Staying on Track, and also by Mark Thompson with Gingrich, Thompson, and Watts. And before we went to break, Mark, I was I should get a standing ovation for finally getting those things right, right?
All three.
But anyway, Mark, I was talking about people who weren't fortunate enough to have attorneys like you guys to fight their cases, and what happens to those people?
You know, I think you raise a very, very interesting problem. You know, let me just use, you know, Brenda was kind enough to ask me to represent Omar, and along with Craig. And, you know, I think many other lawyers had said that they were not interested in pursuing the case because the issue of mental illness, schizophrenia, jails is sort of down at the bottom of everybody's priority list. And we forget that we're talking about human beings.
Right.
The reality is it's very, very expensive because I mean, Craig and I actually teamed up on the civil work. We put in over $100,000 of money on experts and deposition costs to make the point. You know, I mean, Milwaukee County and Armour did not just sit there and say, oh yeah, we're sorry, right? I mean, they did everything they could to hide every fact, to put mud on the wall, to run away. They hired experts that said Omar didn't decompensate when everybody in the world knew he decompensated. The doctors knew he decompensated. The records all said he decompensated. But they paid somebody to just say he didn't. And, you know, so when you're dealing with the civil justice system, you do have a defense that is designed to just beat you up. So you have to be committed for the long term, because this took us 3+ years. But we had also a lot of help along the way that's really important. For example, Judge William Pocan had the criminal case. And with Craig Mastantuono. But he said on the record, that the jail was responsible. And, you know, when we have judges, and there's judges all over this state, judges know what jails aren't taking care of, you know, people. They know which prisons aren't taking care of people. Judges can weigh in and help make a difference, because this will help other people. Now, here's the other thing. We did this on a contingency, right? Brenda called me and we just assumed the risk. Now, there are a lot of lawyers that won't assume the risk of putting out $100,000 of their own money on the outside chance that at 3 years down the road, you'll prove the county and Armour is responsible and will pay $1.05 million, right?
Right.
Right. 99% of lawyers don't take that risk, right? It's like,
or can't.
Or they can't, but there are a lot of people that are in the personal injury business that don't do it because it's too hard of work. And, you know, the risk is too great. And they walk away from their responsibility, right? You know, look at if you can handle a drunk driving case, you should be able to handle a civil rights case on occasion. You're a trial lawyer. I mean, you're supposed to do the right thing. You're not supposed to just cherry pick and take the easy cases that, you know, that aren't controversial. I think that's part of the problem.
So let me ask you, did it help in your decision making that Brenda, being the competent person that she is, and the fact that you knew in the long run that this, you needed a stable person as well, it certainly matters, right? I mean, when you look at those things, Craig?
Well, you know, in my practice, criminal practice, private criminal practice, I started my career as a public defender, but now I'm in private practice. You know, we do have an amount of freedom to take cases for any reason, right?
Right.
And including for any price. I mean, I've done my share of pro bono work, and by the time we got done with Omar's case, I was certainly working at a low bono rate, right, Brenda? Before the civil rights aspect of it and ultimate settlement and then carrying costs. And when I said can't, you know, about carrying costs, I was referring more to firms like my own, small criminal practice shops.
Right.
But does it help to have a parent like Brenda who is compelling? And I remember when you came to my office, you know, we're all human beings. And there are certain people that you look at and think, I want to help this person. You know, I'm moved by their story. And Brenda was certainly one of those. And I wouldn't be honest if I said that didn't make a difference sometimes about who am I working with, who am I going to be working with, and how compelling do they offer their story, and do I want to jump in and help?
And might I say is that Mark and Craig, they looked at the humanity, because, you know, I can come in like a bulldog at times because I'm an advocate. But when I talked to Craig, and when we were in the courtroom, and when they took Omar back into custody because of the harm that was done at the jail, and to hear the judge be so irate with what happened and said, this is uncalled for, this is unnecessary. And I even told Craig, I said, why is it that Omar has been harmed so much, but he has not died, but he's died in many other ways? I mean, spiritually, emotionally, cognitively, with the damage that was done. So when I talked to Craig and Mark, I talked to them as a mother that felt for her son, and they felt it. They felt, because it is, they're human beings. And they looked at me and said, this is going to be hard. This is going to be very difficult.
But, and long.
And long. Yeah. And right. Long. And again, I was like, why not? This is what they need to do. This is what they should have done. This is what. So, you know, they kind of taught me a lot about the law and the track you have to be in, and but their humanity was there, and it was just such a pleasure working with them.
All right, we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State lawmakers are tinkering with plans for state funding for American Family Field. While the bill passed the Assembly with bipartisan support last week, WisPolitics reports it does not have enough support from Republicans yet to pass the Senate. One of the ideas is to increase payments from the Brewers to lower the state's $411 million share. Some fear the Brewers could leave Wisconsin without a deal. Weather experts say climate change is making October nights in the Midwest feel warmer more often than not. A new analysis from the nonprofit Climate Central says fall evening temperatures in the U.S. have warmed by nearly 2 degrees on average since 1970. In Milwaukee and Madison, it's closer to 4 degrees. Scientists say mosquitoes are thriving and people with respiratory issues like asthma are suffering. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Red Letter Grant Program is expanding in western Wisconsin. According to a WQOW report, a $62,000 grant will allow WBD, a nonprofit that assists small businesses in gaining access to capital to grow their business, create jobs, and build communities, to expand in 8 counties in western Wisconsin: Barron, Burnett, Polk, Price, Rusk, Sawyer, Taylor, and Washburn counties. The report also noted the grant has helped almost 40 businesses get started throughout the Chippewa Valley already. A bipartisan bill would fund driver's education for the first time since 2004 in Wisconsin. The legislation would allow the Department of Transportation to establish a driver education grant program, allowing more young people to access driver's education and make the roads safer. People under the age of 20 who are eligible for a free or reduced price lunch in the federal school lunch program would be eligible to have the costs of their driver's education class covered by the grant program. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Packers getting ready for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers host the Vikings Sunday at noon, but they'll be missing some key players. Safety Darnell Savage placed on IR with a calf injury. Eric Stokes back on injured reserve after pulling a hamstring Sunday in Denver. It was his first game back in nearly a year.
Man, just, I can't believe it. Like, I don't worry 11 and a half months just to get back to where I was at. I can't believe any of this. Like, I just have no words.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tonight for the season opener. James Harden finally showed up to practice in Philly, but will not be playing in the game in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Giannis celebrates his 11th season with the Bucks and was asked what it all means.
The Milwaukee Bucks organization, they've been there with me since the beginning. They changed my life. They changed my family life. My kids were born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, my mom is here enjoying her life. My dad spent a couple of years here before he passed away. And for that, I can't turn my back.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers and thunder showers today. Our high right around 62 this afternoon. Scattered rain tonight, 45. We can get a quarter to a half inch of rain by the time it all winds down late tonight. Tomorrow, a few sprinkles in the morning, gradual clearing, becoming colder, with temps in the 30s by afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guests are attorney Mark Thompson of Gingrich, Thompson and Wax, and Craig, attorney Craig Mastituno of Coffey and Thomas. And Ms. Brenda Nelson, Staying on Track, Inc., Executive Director. And before we...
Brenda who?
Brenda Wesley. When I put it on automatic, I always fail.
I got
but I want to, at least before we go back, give Attorney Thompson an opportunity to tell people how they can contact him.
Thank you so much, Earl. You know, my firm, Gingrass, Thompson and Watts, we're all over the state. You know, this addresses part of the question of how do we get involved? We're all over the state. We've had cases of, you know, out of the state. You, GTW Lawyers, gtwlawyers.com, will get us to our website. My direct dial, folks, is 414-935-5482. You can always call me, 414-935-5482. If I don't pick up the phone, I'll call you back. We are a personal injury firm that will settle your case. We maximize it out. We have lawyers on the cases. We don't let paralegals run the store. And we will take every little case and treat it just like Omar Wesley's case. This is, you know, we are committed to the people we represent.
And I would be remiss if I didn't let the people know that every Monday you can be heard on Civic Media, Paul Revere, your Paul Revere show. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's very kind of you, Earl. Yes, Earl and I share, we're trying to help build Civic Media. We're trying to build a progressive voice on radio across the state. So we're not just listening to bullies, put it that way.
Yes.
You know, the Paul Revere show, I named it, you know, it's a famous poem about Paul Revere. And it was written just at the beginning of the Civil War to rally the North against slavery. And people forget that. Paul Revere really wasn't known widely across America until the poem was written. And the poem was written to rally us against slavery. And I thought, at a time where we're trying to move Wisconsin forward, what better name to pick than the Paul Revere show? Because I saw what I call the new bullies, the new kings in town, Speaker Voss, people
yes.
want to take away our right to vote. People who, like, they want to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz, who just won by 11 points. These are the biggest bullies in the world. And they also attack diversity, equity, inclusion at the statewide level in the city. And I just thought the only way Wisconsin can go forward is with, we have to know, we have to end white supremacy in this country now.
You do a great show, my friend, and let people know what time and what stations.
There we go. WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM every Monday night. Your Paul Revere show from 7 to 8 PM, folks.
All right. All right. Listen, I'm glad you're an attorney. You're not attempting to be a talk show host, or I'd be looking over my shoulder. You do a great show. And I don't even think it's not a show. You do a great service. But okay, and so let's go again to Attorney Craig Mastituno. And how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, we're easy. We're MilwaukeeCriminalLawyers.com. All one word, MilwaukeeCriminalLawyers, plural.com. We have an office in Waukesha as well, and we're WaukeshaCriminalLawyers.com. There it all goes to the same place. We are four attorneys that handle all types of criminal justice cases. You can reach us very easily, and we are women and minority owned. I am first generation Mexican. My mother is an immigrant from Mexico City.
All right, let's go to Peter from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Peter. You say what? Peter. Peter, are you there? All right, we'll put Peter on hold. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Hey, Earl, how about some good news today? My cousin, who's in politics out east, is aware of the Charlie Behrens, or whatever they call the Kretzcast.
Right.
How he found out about it, I don't know, but I have told him about Civic Media Radio. And he was the city manager at Hagerstown, in Hagerstown, Maryland. Now, your broadcast doesn't reach out to the East Coast, does it?
No.
But guess what? You already got fans out there. Yet maybe you will someday.
Well, that's great.
Because
go ahead.
He could be on the show, and I'll tell you what, he's my cousin. He's 10 times smarter than this old boy ever. And he, my family had encouraged him to write books.
Well, Bill, give him the phone number, man, by all means. If he's anywhere near as astute, if he's anywhere near as an astute a person as you are, we love to hear from him. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Peter from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Peter. You say what, sir?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi. I'd like to, address a few issues.
Quickly.
I am a recently retired. Excuse me?
Quickly, go ahead.
Okay. I'm a recently retired attorney from Richland Center. Did a lot of criminal defense, mental health issues. And I love the program, and I love the issues going discussed. But I just want to clarify that, as has probably been suggested, this is all a issue of financing and money and who is worth spending money on. And it should be obvious that Wisconsin doesn't consider children worthy of spending money on because of what's happening with school. And certainly they don't consider criminal defendants or mentally ill people worthy of spending money on. And so, unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. And that's just all I wanted to add.
Well, thank you very much, Peter, for listening. Thank you for adding that. And either one of you can respond, Mark or...
Yeah, let me jump in. Right.
Go ahead.
Thanks so much. I think that is really, really crucial, because where we spend our tax dollars reflects who we are as a people. And because we're talking about Omar Wesley and we're talking about Milwaukee County Jail, and I think it's appropriate, and I think these are lessons that can be taken across the state. But right now, Milwaukee County is in the middle of a debate over budget. And every person listening, if you're in Milwaukee County, call your supervisor, call your county exec, call them and say, put money into the jail. Okay, because it's not done. Omar's case is over, but the evidence we discovered in that case is that the problems are occurring every day. People are not getting their medications in the jail. And it is time to fund this adequately. I mean, people have the right to medical care. You're convicted, you do your time. You're not supposed to be then tortured and killed, or end up, with a mental illness aggravated, right? I mean, we should not hurt people in jail. And that means spending money. And the caller was absolutely correct. And if you're listening, folks, and you're in the county, it's time to call your supervisor, call the county exec, tell them to fund the jail. I mean, we don't want any more of these. Frankly, this is what I tell the lawyers on the other side. I don't want any more civil rights cases in the jail, right? Not because I don't handle them, but I want the violations of the Constitution to stop.
Yeah.
Right? Let's get on with it.
All right, let's go to Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Karina. You say what?
Good morning. I just want to say that I hear and I feel for you, And I'm sorry that happened to your son. It's horrible. And I want to share the experiences with everybody, because it's not just the fact that people getting into jail already with the outstanding prescription. Why jail do not want to receive help from outside, I never understood. I tried to work on the mental level to come in and do the injection for the people who are addicted to opiates and alcohol. They said no in Milwaukee County. We tried to deliver medication, which is afforded. You just have to give it to prisoners. They said no. People who are there undiagnosed, being diagnosed in jail and not prescribed medication. So you know there is wrong something with the person. You still incarcerate that person, even if they, okay, fine, they guilty. I understand. You just put diagnosis of a bipolar individual, and you just walk away without the prescription, and you're fine. As a healthcare provider, as a somebody who actually give an earth not to damage and help, you just walk away knowingly that that person suffer way more than anybody else. So I think it's such a...
Hey, Corinna, I wish we had more time, but we got it. Thank you very much for the call. You want to respond, Craig?
Yeah, I think both your callers are touching on something that... Let me bring this back to Omar for a moment and tell you something about Omar, and then we'll talk about this. Omar's mistreatment at the hands of the jail was after he'd been found not guilty and after he was ready for release. And the reason Judge William Pocan, who Mark mentioned earlier, was so incensed is because as he was approving a release plan for Omar to be in the community on a not guilty commitment, mental health commitment, that's when the jail dropped the ball and disrupted his medication and threw him back into a mental health crisis. And so the reason I say that is because your callers are talking about two things, resources and medications at the jail. And all across the state, people go into our jail system. And when we say, I think it's, you know, some of your listeners may think, what do you mean spend more money on the criminal justice system? Let me tell you something. 90% of the people that go into our jails and prisons are going to be back in society, okay? We all have an interest to make sure that our institutions are well-resourced, and places where people hopefully go into the criminal justice system and come out at least not worse. They should come out better, right? We should offer rehabilitative and other interventions in our jails and prisons and in probation systems that help people overcome their own misconduct, right? But at the very least, we shouldn't injure them in the care of our institutions. And society pays for that. It's not just, you know, families.
Well, they used to be called correctional facilities, right? Yeah. I mean, whatever happened to that?
Right, right. I mean, right? That's a larger issue.
So, I just want
to
mention.
Well, Brenda, we got to go to break. Okay. I promise you, when we come back, we'll come right back to you. Your phone lines are open again, as always, at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens
or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm going to go right to Ms. Brenda Wesley. So you've created a nonprofit. You're the executive director of Staying on Track, Inc. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Before I tell you that, the thing that I do want to say is that with Omar and the harm that was done to him at the jail, he is currently still at Mendota, and he has been there for 8 years because of the impact of what happened to him and happened at the jail with him not receiving his medication.
So people don't know what Mendota is. What is
Mendota is a mental health institute. And so Omar is there. So when he comes home, we will be afforded the opportunity to help with his care, to provide adequate housing for him. So again, I just want to thank the two attorneys for believing in Omar's story and believing in my story and just willing to put their practice and everything on the line to help us out because we're not of money. We're not of major means. So I truly appreciate that. But you had mentioned, why do I stay in the trenches? That's why I started my own nonprofit with my nephew. We formed it, Staying on Track, and it's a mental health advocacy organization where one of the tracks we do have is financial literacy as far as home ownership that we offer, but the major program is mental health workshops in the community, by the community, so we can help communities understand and for them to get access to care. Another element, and I got funding from the Charles E. Kubley Foundation to create this nonprofit, as well as to resurrect a play that I wrote called Pieces in My Own Voice. But as of November 18th, we're going to have our first fundraiser, and we started a foundation called We Are Your Voice. And that fundraiser is to raise money for small organizations in the city that address addiction. I lost my sister and my niece to fentanyl poisoning. And the name of the fundraiser is All Things Prince. So we're going to go back to the 80s. So you can come dress as Prince in the 80s gear. And we're going to have raise money to, like I said, to acknowledge people that we have lost along the way from mental illness as well as addiction, as well as those that still struggling and living with it. But we want to put a light on people that we normally don't want to put a light on. And so this is what the foundation was formed to raise money. So hopefully your listeners can come. So you can go to stayingontrackinc.org and you can get your tickets or you can see what the nonprofit is doing. And you can come out and join us that particular evening.
Well, you know, Brenda, I'm going to have you on more because clearly there's so many different parts to this and not layers. Just your son's story,
absolutely,
but others. But I would be remiss if I didn't give the attorneys an opportunity to kind of give some closing info. Attorney Thompson?
Thanks, Earl. You know, Brenda gave me the chance to represent her son against all odds. And it's always a huge privilege to serve in that capacity. It's always better if at the end of the day we're successful And I'm very proud of the fact that Craig and I were able to help put together substantial funds for Brenda to have a trust in place to help take care of Omar when he's released from Mendota. And you know, the everybody that is injured has their story, right? We're talking about individuals and individual losses. And, you know, there is this ray of hope in American, the law, is that you do have an opportunity and access to justice. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come cheap. But we do have it, and I'm honored to have been part of Brenda's team and work with Craig. And Earl, it's an honor always to be a guest on your show, and thank you for what you do for our community day in, day out.
You know, Attorney Tumps, you used to come on my show when we were at a different place. I got to get you back, man.
I'll be glad to be back.
We're gonna make sure we do that. Craig?
Look, in life, as you get through, I'm in my 31st year of practicing law now.
I thought you were going to say 31st year.
No, I wish. Okay. the most rewarding things in your practice are the ability to help people and change their lives for a better trajectory. I mean, I deal with clients every day that make mistakes, that want to overcome their own behavior. Omar's case was different because he wasn't responsible for his own behavior. And being able to assist families reach a better place and be able to move forward really is the most rewarding thing that you can be compensated with in life. It ain't money, that's for sure. And Brenda thanking us is really, I want to thank her for the opportunity to help with her and Omar's situation. And we are petitioning for Omar to be back in the community soon, so this journey continues.
Yeah,
right?
It certainly does. And one last thing that I want to say, too, is that we have to hold our elected officials accountable.
No question.
That family members, if your family member cannot vote, you can. You pay taxes. So as family members, if we want to see things change, we have to get together to make that change and holding our officials accountable.
You know, that to me, having the honor and privilege of being able to come on these airwaves, it's critically important that we use them to educate people and to have shows like this. This is, without question, one of the most enjoyable times that I've had. And I think the information that was given today impacted and affected so many people. And that's, to me, that's what this is all about. So thank all of you.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it. Could not have done it without you. We got to go, unfortunately. But we'll make sure this happens again. Thank everybody. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow. Sandy Williams will be joining me. A lot to talk about. See you later.
Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Earl.
Thank you.
Peace, y'all.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls,